This is Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, joined by Lansing Lugnuts manager Sal Fasano. Sal, your thoughts on this first season managing?
Well, Jess, there was a lot of ups and there was a lot of downs and there was a lot of in-betweens. It was a pretty good learning experience for me. I know that I'm well-educated now in managing compared to when I first started. And I know there's more to come. You know, I got a lot more stuff to learn, and I'm pretty excited to the fact that we had some success and we had a lot of people move. And, you know, I think when I redid the numbers, I realized we did 26 or 27 position player moves, and most of them went up. So to me, I got to think that was a successful year, because when we got them ready to move up, they were ready, they took them. And whether they're having success at the higher level, I don't know. But I know that when they left us, they were better players than when they started.
Was there something that you came into the season, and now even more so, you appreciate about the managers that you played for?
Well, I realize now how hard it was to try basically to get to know 25 to 40 personalities. It's a difficult thing when you want to take a vested interest in a person's career and you don't take the time to know them as a person. I think it's essential. And now that's what I came in thinking, and now I know it's an absolute fact. You have to get to know them, how to reach them, how to connect with them, how to get the best from them, and how to, you know, pull them out of the worst. So it was important.
With regard to the players specifically, who would you spotlight and say that this guy had a breakthrough year this year?
Oh, I think there was quite a few. I think if we can go back to the beginning, I think Ryan Goings really solidified his place as a prospect now. He showed the guys that he can play shortstop. He showed that he could hit at this level. To be honest with you, he's kind of scuffling a little bit in high A ball, but I know he turned himself into a pretty good player. Antonio Jimenez, you know, our catcher before he got that injury, I mean, he was on the fast track to get into the big leagues, and I think he still is on that track. He's a much better catcher, receiver, blocker, thrower now than he was when he left, and he proved that he could hit. And that's what the major concern was with him. I think those two guys are probably head and shoulders above the rest, but I think next year, you know, you're probably going to see a Mariznick again, a Krausem again, and a Hobson again, and you guys are going to be really happy with that. So whether I'm here or not, you guys got a lot to look forward to.
Which pitchers do you think take the biggest steps forward?
Well, I think Tep showed that he can be a winner in the minor leagues. Now it's just going to be a question of his durability, building his innings, giving him an opportunity to maybe have success at a higher level. I think Egan Smith also did the same thing. He showed that he's a winner, can get ground balls, or lefty sinker baller. They're hard to come by. So those two guys, and I know Turnbull, you know, he had a great first half, you know, scuffled a little bit in the second half, but it's a work in progress. But you know, when you get an arm like him or Casey Beck, those guys have pretty good arms, and those are hard to find.
How has this Midwest League changed since when you played here?
The travel's a lot more difficult now than when I was here, but the fields and stadiums are a whole lot better. I know, you know, when I was in Rockford, you know, we had Madison, we went to Beloit, Wisconsin, old Appleton is a different place. You know, Burlington is still the same, you know, and I never got a chance to go to, we didn't go to Clinton this year, but we had so many more commuters back then. Where I was, I mean, we only stayed in a hotel probably a half the time on the road, and now we basically only had the one commuter to Western Michigan. And you got to think, my first year was West Michigan's first year in the league. So it's Lansing wasn't even a dot yet on the map. And so there's new places, you know, places like Dayton are pretty nice, and obviously Great Lakes is a really nice place. But, you know, I kind of missed the quaintness of a Burlington, you know, where it was really fun to play there because it was small and it seemed like minor league baseball.
After this season, it's Instructional League up next. What's expected of you in the Instructional League?
Well, I'm going to be managing the Instructional League team. We basically have enough players for two full teams. Basically, my responsibilities are going to be the actual game day, managing the game day. And I'm also, I mean, I'll have a lot to do with the catching. Myself and Doug Davis will be doing most of the catching and trying to get that, to really get that improved. I mean, you got to think, we had at every level this year, we had an all-star at every level at the catcher position. So to me, I think we did a really good job in the spring. We just want to expound on what it takes to have a good organization. You can't win without a catcher. And I'm a little biased that way, but I know it's a fact. I mean, look at our team once we lost Hemi. Our record is completely different. So that, I think, and it's really just getting a chance to teach. It's actually a lot of the guys that we had, plus all the new guys that got drafted, teach them the correct way to play, a little bit of the game within the game, and how to get them as a personal player better.
What's the rest of the offseason hold in store for you?
A lot of football. Be watching all the Bears games. I don't know how many I'm going to be able to get to now. I lose some of my games because I have season tickets to them, but I'm going to lose a few of them. But, you know, it's mostly just family time. Probably work out, try to stay in shape. I know this year was hard trying to balance managing in my own personal body. So, but aside from that, man, it's just being a dad. Get to be a dad for a little bit.
A couple of lightning rod questions for you.
Sure.
DH or no DH?
DH. I think there should be a separation between the two leagues. There has to be. That's what gives us the uniqueness of baseball.
The All-Star game, fine as it is, go back to the way it was.
I think the World Series should be rewarded to the best record overall, not an All-Star game.
If you had a vote for the Hall of Fame, there's one guy who's out right now who you want to put in.
Well, definitely Pete Rose. I mean, he was a good enough player, I think. Good enough, he was great. And I think he's paid his penalty. You know, I don't think it should be... You know, they let the guys from the White Sox in, so I think it's time to let Pete in.
Would you put in Mark McGwire?
I think on a level playing field, I think you should. I mean, because he wasn't the only guy who cheated. There was quite a few that did. And basically, what you do on the field, what you do off the field, and where you're at and standing in your generation. Mark McGwire was one of the greatest home run hitters of all time.
Was it easy to see? You know, you came up before, as it's been ruled, the steroid era, and then after you played in Spud. Could you see the changes in the midst of things?
Yeah, I can see the changes. I mean, you could tell guys were getting bigger and stronger. When I was in A-ball, I broke, you know, basically a 15 to 20-year-old record with how many hits and home runs I hit in the minor leagues, and I hit 32. The very next year, we had a guy hit 51 and then 61. I mean, to get a jump of not just a couple, we're talking about almost double my output. And you saw guys that were your size, Jesse, that were just huge, and they were hitting balls miles. And it was like power was one of those things that was really hard to find, and that's why you never let go of a Steve Balboni. You know, those guys are going to hit 40 home runs. He's bigger, stronger. Ryan Howard, bigger, stronger than everybody else. And when somebody who is half his size hits that many home runs, when you look in the past of baseball, that little men never hit home runs. They never did. So it's really hard to say, you know, that they made a mistake because they made a lot of money doing it. So it's not the player's fault. Anytime money's involved, people are going to cheat. But it's the GM's faults for rewarding those guys with big contracts. So it just basically says, hey, you young guys, you cheat too because you'll get paid.
Who was the best pitcher you ever caught?
There's quite a few, man. I'm pretty excited the fact that I got a chance to catch CC Sabathia in a game. I'm very excited that I caught Roy Halladay in a game. Mariano Rivera, caught a few saves. You know, I got a chance to catch Randy Johnson's bullpens. I caught a guy when I first got to the big leagues, Kevin Apier, who was a strikeout specialist back then. I mean, Mark Mulder, Barry Zito, you know, Tim Hudson. I mean, I was very, very fortunate, and I'm not going to distinguish who was the best. I know that if the money was on the line and I needed to pitch a game and win, how can you fight against CeCe, Tim Hudson, Roy Halladay? Those guys are all winners. That's what they do. So it was just a fun career, and I can't really relegate myself to just one.
Who had the best fastball of those guys?
The best fastball was probably, I mean, CeCe's fastball is just ridiculous because he can spot it and he can put it anywhere he wants, and it's still 94 to 96. You know, Doc had probably one of the best sinkers. Jason Grimsley was a guy that I caught, was throwing 97, 98 with sink and cut. You didn't know what it was doing at the time, and he was just, He had one of those freakish arms, and that's why he pitched for 10 years with one pitch. I mean, Mariano was the same way. I mean, the cut fastball. Those are really tough questions to answer because their stuff was so good.
Did you ever have to catch a knuckleball?
Only one in the minor leagues. Same was Brian Harrison. He was trying to convert it. He was a sinker baller, tried to convert to a knuckleball, and it really wasn't that good. I faced enough of them, but I never had to catch a good one.
What was the toughest pitcher then for you? Maybe not one of those bigger names, but a guy that you said, I'm uncomfortable stepping in against this guy.
Wow, there's a few of them because I really wasn't that good of a hitter, Jesse. I know when you faced Randy Johnson in his prime or Roger Clemens in his prime. I mean, Randy Johnson throwing 97 to 99 one day in the Kingdom, and I'd never seen that. I just got called up. Who do you know in the minors that throws left-handed who's 6'8 that you see 98? I went over my first, 12 against them with, 11 punch-outs. I think the first time I made contact, we had a party. Then, Roger Clemens was just ridiculous when I was young, too. So,
was there a guy that went the other way who maybe his reputation and maybe his skills were terrific? However, for whatever reason, you could hit him.
You know, there was a few guys like that. You know, and later in my career, it turned out to be I could hit lefties more. I remember when I to face Andy Pettit, you know, I actually thought I did okay against Andy. But, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, so I don't know. But for some reason, any time I played against any of the White Sox, I had a good time. Like, Jose Contreras, when he moved from the Yankees to the White Sox, you know, and he had a really good year, I hit him really well. It was just one of those freakish things, you know. Some days you have a good day and you continue to have it because you're not only in his head, but I'm in his, you know, he's in mine. I got him. So,
who is your favorite fan base to play for?
I honestly can say this without batting an eye. Every place I was at, all the fans treated me like royalty. And to me, I think that's one of the things that is most endearing for my love for the baseball fans is because everywhere, whether it was Kansas City, Oakland, you know, I had a great time in Oakland, and that was my first time. Then we had those fans in Philly, and you know how great they were. The fans in Baltimore were tremendous. The fans named me Newcomer of the Year, you know. The Yankees, being Italian, play for the Yankees. What's better than that? Toronto, the Italian base in Toronto was huge. So, I mean, every place I was at, it was just a time, you know, not to mention Cleveland. Cleveland treated me like king. So, I mean, all the places I was at, the fans treated me really well. But you treat them well, they treat you well.
What to you would be what you consider your best moment in baseball?
Well, there's nothing that's going to compare to the very first time I stepped on the field. I was on the Anaheim team that won a World Series. Didn't play much, but I was on that team. But the very first day was Camden Yards, and this is in Camden Yards glory. I got an opportunity to play the second game, so I didn't miss opening day, but I played the second day. I met President Bill Clinton. I met a lot of the chiefs of staff. I met, you know, the Italian prime minister at the time. And it was such a culmination of emotion because this is something that you built for. Since I was 9 years old, I knew I wanted to play in the big league. And then when it finally hits you and you step in a batter's box and you're in front of 45,000 people, I'm facing David Wells, Cal Ripken's playing short, Robbie Alomar's playing second, Albert, you know, just, it was really just an experience that's hard to talk about because it's one of those things that's really emotional because it was a culmination of efforts, man, to finally get there.
Favorite ballpark?
I love the fans in New York. I love the fans in Philly. But for some reason, the two most beautiful ballparks are Colorado and Safeco Field for me, you know, in Seattle. I love them both. They're beautiful. So,
favorite city to go to?
Seattle. Best by far.
Bar none.
Food, places to walk around, places to shop, good atmosphere, weather's perfect in the summertime. I know it rains in the fall and the spring, but summertime it's nice.
And finally, outlook for the Bears season this year.
It's going to be a pivotal year for the Bears, Jesse. We've got a new offensive coordinator in Mike Martz. We're hoping Jay Cutler can be the Jay Cutler that we wanted. They've got Forte's healthy. They pick up Chester Taylor. They try to shore up the defense, but the secondary still is a little scary to me. I think if we're 9-7, Lovey gets fired. If we're 10-6, he keeps his job and we go to the playoffs.
Sal, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it, Jesse. No problem.
This is Jesse Goldberg-Strasser on Classic Hits 92X.